And it was interesting because a lot of people feel like they're being carried in the moment. And I didn't feel like I was being carried. I felt like I was being forsaken. I felt like, okay, we're doing this for 6 years here. I'm watching my child writhe in pain. And God, why aren't you helping me? You know, I just felt like, Heavenly Father, where are you in this? Like, I have this beautiful 13-year-old daughter who has suicidal ideation because she's in chronic pain every day. And as a parent, I'm exhausting every resource I can to advocate for her, going to the Mayo Clinic and Mass General Hospital, Primary Children's. Like, no one understands what is happening to her, and we're running out of resources.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent and Michaela here. We're so excited, as always, to have Mary Alice join us. Mary Alice is a podcaster herself. She has a pretty popular podcast called What Now? And if she wants, she can talk about that a little bit. But I reached out to Mary Alice. It's been a little over a month ago now during the holidays and stuff. Everything was kind of crazy and everything. But we're thrilled to have her here to share some of her experiences of life. And yeah, we are so excited. We'll turn it over to you, Mary Alice. Go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit. And we always ask our guests to share something a little quirky. So if you can, if you have just one little thing that not everybody knows about you to share, that'd be great.
Okay. So I'm Mary Alice Hatch, and I started the What Now podcast in 2019. And my goal for that was really to have a resource for people to have so that when life gets hard and their faith gets challenged, and we're all going to deal with difficult things in our lives. You've dealt with difficult things. I've dealt with difficult things, and we'll delve into that a little bit later. But I didn't find a faith-based resource to help me back then. And so I decided to create one. And 6 years later, I'm still doing it in 169 episodes of faith-promoting content. So, and I really do it. I pay for it myself. I don't have sponsors or anything. It's just my public service to the Christian community to help build faith. So you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. It's called What Now? And I have had a quirky thing about me. Gosh, that's so hard. I don't know if this is quirky, but I love flower arranging, and I wanted to be a florist when I was little, and then I was kind of allergic to flowers. But I still do it. I just arrange with flowers that don't have pollen. Oh, wow. It's just quirky, but I don't know. You might have to edit this out. But I just love flower arranging, and I've actually ended up being quite good at it. I did interior design for a while, and I would give my clients beautiful bouquets after our time together and for our photo shoots and things. And then I got into it and doing it for weddings and funerals and friends, and it's just become a really fun hobby. So, but really my passion lies with helping people improve their lives. And that's where my podcast kind of came in. And I've had a few things in my life that have been difficult, very difficult. I had a daughter who suffered with endometriosis, and she was literally writhing in pain for 6 years before we could get her the treatment that she needed. And it was interesting because a lot of people feel like they're being carried in the moment. And I didn't feel like I was being carried. I felt like I was being forsaken. I felt like, okay, we're doing this for 6 years here. I'm watching my child writhe in pain. And God, why aren't you helping me? You know, I just felt like, Heavenly Father, where are you in this? Like, I have this beautiful 13-year-old daughter who has suicidal ideation because she's in chronic pain every day. And as a parent, I'm exhausting every resource I can to advocate for her, going to the Mayo Clinic and Mass General Hospital, Primary Children's. Like, no one understands what is happening to her, and we're running out of resources. And it was such a terrifying and paralyzing time for me in my life, because as parents, we want to protect our kids. We want to do everything we can for our kids. And when you try to do that and you're relying on prayer and your relationship with divinity and whatever that looks like, and it's not happening for you, it's really scary. And I remember feeling so defeated and not really knowing what to do next. And then these little opportunities started happening. I was in our temple. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I was in our temple, and I remember just in prayer saying, like, Heavenly Father, I'm really doing everything, and I don't have anything else to do. I've really done everything. I've turned over every rock. I need your help. And I remember him saying, why haven't you turned her over to me? And I didn't even think of that. I just said, I've just been trying so hard to fix it. And I was trying to fix it without his help. And so I just, in my mind and orally, I just said, I'm turning her over to you. I need you to step in now. This is getting way over my head. I can't handle it anymore. And so he did. And it wasn't an instant thing, but over the next couple of years, he just started creating opportunities for us to get the right treatment for her. It was like, in hindsight, I look back and it was like miracle after miracle after miracle. But when I was in it, I wasn't seeing it. And sometimes that happens when we're in the trenches and things are really hard. I mean, you have adopted two children, you've dealt with infertility. I mean, endometriosis is the leading cause of infertility. And I just thought, you know, what, there's a dead end here. And then actually in hindsight, there were openings along the way. I just wasn't seeing it because it was so hard in the moment. But now I see, like, we've started an awareness campaign and we've secured federal funding to create a cure for this. And we've started a research center at Children's Hospital Boston and secured some of the best people in the world to work there. And I'm like, I did not do that. The Lord created these opportunities for me to elicit major change. And I was fortunate. My late father-in-law was Senator Orrin Hatch. He was the Utah senator for 42 years in Utah. And he, at that time, was Senate pro tempore. So he was third in line for the presidency, had a lot of power and a lot of influence. And he had seen what Emily was going through, my daughter. And he said, we're going to do something about this. And he created a bipartisan initiative and partnered with Democrats and other Republicans to submit an appropriations letter to get federal funding for endometriosis. Basically, it was getting $4 or $5 million of federal funding. Now we're up to over $50 million of federal funding. And that was directly because of my father-in-law. And so I just think the Lord meets you where you are and he says, okay, you might not see it right now, but I've got a bigger vision for you and a bigger plan for you. If the Lord had told me 15 years ago when I started this journey that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have never believed it. I didn't think I was even capable of doing that, you know, but the Lord can make you stronger and more qualified than you ever thought you could ever be in your life. That's the cool thing about leaning in on the Lord. And my advice to those of you who are in the black hole right now, you're in the thick of it, there is a bigger plan ahead of you, and you just can't give up, because you just have to trust that he is going to deliver you out of that hole. Because I've been in that hole, and I felt like, I'm not getting out of this. And that's a really scary feeling, when you feel like you've done everything humanly possible to fix something, and it's not getting fixed. And then you have to rely on divinity, like Heavenly Father Jesus, to deliver you. And they can do that. And I've seen that. And it's interesting in hindsight when I see everything that has come to pass because of this. Not only did I save my own daughter with the help of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, now we are saving millions of women who are facing infertility and chronic pain. I mean, the Lord has elevated us to a level I never thought I'd be able to do. And that's the cool thing is when you partner with God, he can elevate you to a level you never thought imaginable. And he can bring you to places you never thought you would be. And now I'm in this advocacy space where we're really creating change for millions of women and securing federal funding to do that. It's so cool. Like when you look back in hindsight and you think, gosh, he really did carry me. I didn't feel it in the moment, but there was deliverance at the end. And I just think for those of you listening who are in the hard spot, it gives you faith when you look back and you see that you were delivered, that when the next hard thing comes, that you have more faith and courage in knowing he's going to help you.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Everything you said is, this is why I love this show so much and what we're doing. And what you get to do, I'm sure, too, is being able to talk with people that have done these incredible things, right? Even your father-in-law, being a senator, you know, he didn't just one day all of a sudden wake up, or maybe when he was 8 years old, you know, he didn't think that he was going to be somebody with a whole lot of influence and power. But God takes us in our experiences and he molds us and helps us get to where he sees us, right? Had you not experienced this with your daughter, yeah, endometriosis and stuff, you wouldn't have done everything that you've done and created all of this change and raised all of this money to help, like you said, so many other people. You know, it's really hard and sad to think that you had to get there by watching your daughter suffer a little bit, but God took these hardships and these things that you went through and he used them for good, right? And we've been able to see that in our journey and in so many other people's stories of their lives and their journeys, that God is the very best at taking the worst and turning it into something so beautiful. And I just love it.
Yeah.
How is your daughter now? What's she doing?
She actually has three children. She just had twins 3 weeks ago. It's a total miracle. I mean, endometriosis is the leading cause of infertility. And she has three children. I mean, when she was in high school and missing months of school and debilitating pain, she couldn't even walk down our driveway, which was like 15 feet. And I just think, oh my gosh, and now she's married and she went to college and she has three children. I think those are miracles. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle. And now she has joined us in this advocacy effort where she has spoken in front of Congress and she has done private screenings in Hollywood. We have a film called Below the Belt that screened on PBS 2 years ago. We've had over 45 million views. And this film is an awareness film, and we are in it, Emily and I, with three other women sharing their stories about endometriosis and how it's affected their life. And what we're trying to help people see is that there is a discrepancy in women's health that is not being addressed. And now we are addressing it. Our government is addressing it. You know, we've been cutting so much of our federal funding lately, but endometriosis and women's health was not cut, which is a miracle with all the things that have been happening. That's another miracle. All the 11 years I spent advocating for this federal funding wasn't cut. And I'm like, thank you, Heavenly Father. Like, I just feel like this little bubble is being protected because these are his daughters. These are his children who are suffering, my daughter included, and he's not going to forsake them. And I have felt that. We did a screening in Hollywood. And, you know, it's kind of a godless community there. And talking about religion is a little taboo, especially at a movie screening. But we had, you know, a lot of Hollywood celebrities there. And I was on the panel discussion after talking about the film and the impetus of the film and what we hoped for it. And I just felt like the Lord said, you need to let them know I'm leading this. And I just got up and I just said, I could not be doing this without God's help. He has led this initiative. And people stood up and started clapping. I mean, they, something spoke to the inner soul. We all have the spirit of Jesus Christ in us, and something resonated with them, and they knew what I was saying was true. And I have felt that throughout this whole journey. I felt that at times when I felt forsaken, later I could see the big picture. And I think that's how Heavenly Father works. A lot of it is in hindsight. In hindsight, we see the hand of God. We see that he's helping us. But in the moment, it can be so difficult when you're in the thick of something. And what advice I would give that I ended up doing is I just kept moving forward. And I think we just have to keep moving forward, because if we don't, that's where we just get lost in the despair of it all. And that's where I think, honestly, the adversary wants us to stay there. He doesn't want us progressing. He doesn't want us doing good. He doesn't want us helping our brothers and sisters. But when we move forward in faith, the Lord can do something with us. And I have totally felt that.
Yeah, I think that, like, for our journey, obviously, it's something similar to what your daughter has gone through. And we've talked about it on the show before, but, like, just all the times that we questioned and, you know, we screamed and we yelled and just fought back and didn't understand. And, like, it's so funny to be able to, like, if we could just take a little still shot of that time and then see even months later, you know, what he's been able to do, you know, because we were willing to just let go and say, okay, like, I surrender. I have nothing left to give. And I either walk away and I don't believe in you, or I just trust and see what magic you can do, because I don't have anything left. And that's happened before in our journey, and being able to see the transformation. And we always say, like, the saying, I don't know if you've heard it, but, you know, in our waiting, God is working. And when I heard that the first time, it was like, wow, you know, like, it's so true. Like, we might have to wait longer than we'd hope, but he has such a greater plan. You know, seeing these two beautiful kids of ours now, they could not be more like us if they tried, right? Like, it was by divine design. Like, so it gives us hope. And your story and your daughter gives me hope, right? Like, just that he's there and he's watching. He hears us. And if we just let go and let him take lead sometimes and stop trying to control every little situation, then maybe he will step in when we need him the most.
But like you were saying, Mary Alice, too, it's, we can't just be stagnant and not doing anything. We have to keep taking steps forward. You know, the steps that sometimes we don't even know where that step is, but if we feel like we're doing God's will and we're aligning our will with his, as long as we're taking a step forward, we could have a blindfold on, but he knows where we're going.
Yeah. I think it's our human nature, too, to want to control everything and take action, and we can handle it and we can make the result that we want. But the reality, and sometimes we can do that, but I think for the bigger things like this, we cannot do that. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to humble ourselves and know that there is a bigger plan, a bigger picture that we're not aware of, that he fully understands, and that he can magnify our gifts and talents to do what he needs us to do. But he needs us to partner with him. And so I think I've seen people have struggles where they've left their faith and how much harder that is, and people who have embraced their faith in the struggle and how it's elevated them to be able to do what they need to do for themselves and for the Lord. I mean, the Lord can use us. I mean, I think of, like, my father-in-law was a poor Pittsburgh tradesman, very poor family, and what he came to accomplish as Senate pro tempore at the end of his career is the human experience in America. Like, it's the American dream, but the Lord helped him every step of the way. And he said that throughout his career. He's like, I'm on a mission. I could have made a ton of money as a lawyer. He had his own law firm, a partner. He was doing great. But he felt a calling from the Lord that he needed to step in and protect our country, protect our people, and elevate us to another level. And he's like, I felt like I was sustained constantly throughout that career that he had. Because it's hard. Politics is rough. And he had a lot of hate against him a lot of different times. And he just leaned in on his testimony. Every morning he would do a scripture study and a prayer with a bunch of people from his office. He would give blessings in his office. I did a whole episode on this. I interviewed his former chief of staff after Orrin Hatch passed away. And he talked about how he would bring people in and give staff members blessings in his office. Like, he never forgot the root of his power and his ability. And I think Heavenly Father is going to do that for all of us, maybe in different ways, not at that level, but he is going to reach in and he's going to save us and help us and our children. I mean, a lot of times, sometimes you see your kids go in different directions and it's scary. And you're like, I just trust that there are angels on the other side that are going to step in and redirect. And I have seen that happen. People have come into my life. People have come into my kids' lives that have redirected those paths to be more positive. And even in the heartache of what I was going through with my daughter, and you feel hopeless, you know, like you were kind of saying, just feeling kind of defeated, like I've done everything I can. What now? You know, that's how I came up with the name of my podcast. I was in those moments where I'm like, what now? What am I going to do? Like, I'm at the end of my resources. But the Lord can step in and send people to help you. In fact, the surgeon that we were led to for Emily, it was at Primary Children's Boston, and it ended up being two failed ablation surgeries, making her condition worse. And I was like, Heavenly Father, I thought you were leading us to this man who was going to help us. And this has been like a disaster. And then we ended up starting our Boston Center for Endometriosis at Children's Boston before all of this kind of happened. And it turns out he has more endometrial tissue samples than any doctor in the world, which is great for our research program. And so that looked like a fail because of those surgeries, but we actually needed his tissue samples and his research team to make this advancement in finding a cure for this disease, which is what is happening there. So maybe it wasn't him that was going to help her, but he actually directed us to Shannon Cohn, who's my partner now, who created this film Below the Belt that we're in. And then that film has created all this international awareness around the world and helped us secure all this funding. And that doctor at Children's is the one who connected me to Shannon for the films, thinking Emily would be a good fit for her film. And then Shannon is the one who recommended the excision surgeon for Emily, which gave her life back. So sometimes we're like, wait, why'd you lead us to Boston when that wasn't the answer for her relief, but it led us to the database and tissue repository and the whole research team, which is elevating us to an area where we can have a cure. So it's interesting. And then we're led to the woman who's my partner now, I've been working with for 11 years. And what we're doing is like, instrumental. No one's doing what we're doing right now. We are moving the needle on this whole initiative for millions of women. So it's like sometimes it feels like you're hitting dead ends in life. I'm like, why did we go through this? It's made it worse. But then you get elevated to a place where it does get, you know, resolved. And Emily now, like I said, she's got a family and a great husband and a great life. And we didn't know if any of that was going to happen for her. So, I mean, when you just trust, sometimes you just have to turn it over. And that's what I was talking about earlier in the temple. I had literally turned my child over to Heavenly Father and said, she's yours. I know you're going to take care of this. And, you know, it wasn't timely. It was 11 years later. Like, when is this going to end? But it does. It does end up resolving at some point. So anyway, that was my experience.
The coolest thing is, and when we hear stories and in our story and everything, is being able to look back and connect the dots and to see, oh, this is why, or it led me here and then here and then here. And yeah. It makes me sad when people aren't humble enough to be able to look back and recognize that it was all God in all of it. You know, they can just, the word coincidence, I hate that word. But, yeah. And One more thing I wanted to talk about. When we go through things as individuals, it's really hard, right? But you as a mother having to watch your child go through something really hard, I can't quite put myself there yet because our kids are really young and their heart is, you know, Teague bumping his head on the countertop or something like that. And that's hard. Like, I never want to see my kid struggle or cry or, you know, things like that. But then when they're going through something as severe as you had to watch your daughter go through, like that kind of, that just brings the pain and the hurt to a different level. But then in those moments too, I always think, and I hear people talk about this too, that we have to remember that our kids aren't only our kids. They are sons and daughters of Him also. And He doesn't want to see them struggle. He doesn't want to see us struggle. He doesn't, you know, He has those same thoughts and feelings that we do when we're watching our kids go through hard things. And this always comes into my mind, and I always try to tell myself to remember this when my kids are going to be going through hard things, that our Father in Heaven watched His only begotten Son suffer more than any of us can even imagine. He knows what it's like to watch His children have to do things for the greater good, right? And I hope and pray that when I'm in those moments, when I'm watching my kids really, really struggle, that I have a Father in Heaven who can relate to me. And it's, that gives me peace right now. And I hope that I can remember and have that peace when I'm in it. But it's so hard when you're really in the thick of things. It's so hard to remember those things.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, watching your kids suffer is probably the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. I mean, because people would say, like, how is she doing? And I could never say she's doing better. I mean, it'd be like years, and I'd almost like dread someone asking me how she's doing because she wasn't doing better. And it was just a reminder of like this hell I was in. It was so hard. I just thought, I don't wish this upon my worst enemy, you know? And she had suicidal ideation because when you're in chronic pain like that, like stabbing pain, I'm like, how does this feel? She's like, I feel like someone's stabbing me. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm trying to do everything I can to relieve this pain and it's not changing. And it's so easy to feel defeated. But I did learn now in hindsight, looking back, I was never left alone and she was never left alone. I remember one time she was telling me how she was having these thoughts, like, I don't know if I can keep living like this. And in the moment, we just knelt and prayed together. And it's like, Heavenly Father, please save my child. And it was just a beautiful memory where we were praying together and just pleading with Heavenly Father to help us. And it didn't make it go away for the next couple of years, but we were able to endure it. You know, we weren't able to get out of it, but we were able to endure it. And I think that's what the atonement does. Sometimes you can't get out of the situation right away, but you can endure it and you can be strengthened in it. And I think that is one of the main principles of the foundation of our faith is we are not alone. We are supported and sustained by Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, and they will not forsake us. And I really do have a testimony of that now. And now when I face other trials, I know we were delivered. There is no way all of that could have turned around to be this outcome without Heavenly Father stepping in. And now I can trust that when these other things come into my life that are really difficult, I know He had my back then and He'll have my back now. And there's so much confidence in that. And it really does build your faith and strengthen you. And no matter what faith you're in. You have a loving Heavenly Father that loves you. He sees you. He sees your kids. He knows what you're going to deal with. But there's no growth without hardship. And that is the reality. I am a very different person than I was then. And I am so much more humbled and grounded and compassionate and empathetic to people who suffer. And if you've never suffered, you can't do that with people. You can't sit in the mud with people if you've never sat in the mud. And I think that's an opportunity our Heavenly Father gives us. I really have a testimony of that, that, you know, he doesn't give us hard things because he doesn't care about us. He gives us hard things to connect us and help us help each other. We are here to help each other and through his direction, his guidance.
Amen. So we could probably end there because you already said basically one truth.
Well, no, we're not going to let her get off that easy.
I'm just kidding. I mean, she's just profound.
No, there was a ton of advice and a ton of truth in all of that. And it's, I just want so bad for people to be able to recognize the coincidences in their life as God molding us. And it's, and like I said, when you're in it, it's really hard to do that. For us, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, when we were in the thick of it and after our scammed adoption and stuff, people would come to us and say, God has a plan. And you know, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. Then, even though I knew it and I believed it, I didn't want to hear that from people. You know, just give me a hug or something. So believe me, I get it. If, and for you listeners that are out there, if you're in it and really going through it right now, I'm not telling you to suck it up and God has a plan. I'm telling you that I understand and I love you, and I just hope that you can just look at the little things in your life and just keep taking a step forward. Like Mary Alice was talking about, just one step, and he will meet you at that next step, and then at that next step, and he'll meet you at the next one. And he just does that. And I know that. And I'm so grateful for that. Mary Alice, you have been awesome. We're so grateful that you were willing to share some of your heart and to talk about God's hand in your life and to help you get to where you are. You've given a lot of advice already, but if there's somebody out there that's listening and maybe they don't even, they can't even find it in themselves to believe in God right now, what's something that you can tell them that will help them to take that next step?
Well, I mean, for me, I just feel like he will not forsake you. I know that, like, I didn't want to hear, oh, it's all going to work out, because I didn't know if it was going to work out when I was in those hard moments. And honestly, I think if you've been through something hard and someone is suffering, that you sit with them in the mud. I think that's the greatest love you can give to somebody, is to sit with them in the pain and listen to them and try to help them and support them through it, instead of just saying, oh, it's going to be fine, you know, because that's not what people want to hear. They want to say, yeah, that's hard. That is brutal. I am so sorry. And you know what? It is going to get better. But right now, I know you feel like it's not, and it's hard and it's difficult. And I'm so sorry for your suffering. I think that's the greatest gift you can give someone, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus sat with people in the mud. Jesus listened. He cared. He didn't try to fix it all. He just said, I love you. I'm here for you. I will help you. I will support you. I will sustain you. And that's what he wants all of us to do for each other.
So true. And that's, again, another truth. So I don't even know if we have to ask you to share a truth with us, but I'm going to do it anyway, because it's how we kind of wrap everything up. But Mary Alice, what is one thing that you know to be true?
That God loves us and he's there for us. It's as simple as that.
Love it.
It is simple. That is a simple truth. But when we really come to know that, when we really come to know that we are loved and we are his child, that gives us so much power and so much, mm-hmm. I hope, it gives me a lot of confidence. And I hope that all of our listeners mm-hmm. out there can find that confidence because he loves you and he believes in you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much for having me on today. I loved our discussion.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We truly enjoyed our conversation with you, and we hope that you have a great day, great weekend, great rest of your week, whatever and whenever you're all listening to this.
Thank you so much, Mary Alice. We appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.